And Jesus found you. Go ahead. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll open it later, but thank you so, so much. God is so good. It's been a privilege to pastor y'all. Maybe some of y'all pestered. And some of y'all pester and pastor at the same time. That's right. I weren't going there. We have search and rescue here today. How you say it, brother? Coastal Carolina, there you go. All I want to say is swamp rat. So we got swamp rat in this crew. Y'all stand up. Somebody, y'all stand up. Y'all want to say something for the Lord? Other than if you're lost, I'll find you. Or you can hide, but you can't, you can run, but you can't hide. Amen. Thank you for all y'all do. There's a whole lot of training goes on in that, and it's one thing to find a person that is revivable, or we're just lost, or a gray alert or whatever. But there's another thing when these guys experience the trauma of finding somebody that didn't make it. And sometimes they find guys and gals and didn't make it and have been quite a while. And so pray for these guys, because it takes a big covering to go over top of them. Amen. Now, is there anybody else that I left out to stand up and say anything? I'm glad to see Frances here. She's on her walker. She fell and broke her hip. But she told the doctor, don't give me any lip. Just speak. Y'all get the point? Broke her hip. They said, don't give me any lip. Just fix my hip. Never mind. I thought it was funnier. It sounded funnier in my head than it did out loud. Let me get my gun, because obviously this thing here has decided to go crazy on me today. Amen. So I'm going to get my gun. Matter of fact, I don't think God's ever come back over this way since then. No. So, how many knows that fear hath torment? Fear, that word torment doesn't just mean that it causes you to be anxious. It means that it actually, it's a penal thing. It means it literally locks you up and barricades you in. Fear is a bad thing. And when fear gets the best of us, sometimes we even not even be able to see and overlook the obvious. Of course, here it is. A man had been visiting a therapist because he had a fear of monsters living under his bed. The man has been seeing the doctors for months. Every time he would come, the doctor would ask, have you made any progress? And every time the man would say, nope. So the man decided to go and see another doctor. When he went back to the other doctor and he asked, have you made any progress? He said, yep, I'm feeling all better now. The doctor said, well, what happened? He said, well, I went to the other doctor and he cured me in one session. One session? He said, yeah, what did he tell you? The man told me, just cut the legs out from under the bed. Go ahead. We're gonna cut some legs out from under the bed this morning. Okay, I don't know about you. How many is absolutely exhausted with all the political acts? It's like I can know two people. Both of them are excellent parents, but they can't get along. And so the lawyers get involved, and when they get in court, they paint both of them. Each person's lawyer paints the other person to be the sorriest person ever lived. And that's why I try to tell couples, instead of going to divorce court, let's try to work this out and see if we can't get let God get in here and fix it the same. Because once you get those lawyers involved, nobody wins. Because they will beat you to death. Okay? Well, the same way, in this political season, I don't know about you, but it is about to drive me crazy. Have you had it with this election stress? I wasn't going to talk about the election. I was going to talk some more about spiritual warfare. And the more I saw these political ads, I was riding past New Bern the other day where they have the billboards that are electronic. I went one way, the political ad said one thing. I come back the other way, and the political ad said something else. It was just political ad after political ad after political ad after political ad. And none of them are nice. Playing Purdy is gone. Those days are gone. And so there's a real thing. There's a real thing out there, and it's a real diagnosis. It's not in the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistical book, but it is a real diagnosis. And I've even wound up having to work with people, especially those in the prison with this, but also I've talked to other people too, and it's called election stress disorder. It's real. I'm not making it up. Y'all look it up. It's real as real can be. Election stress disorder. Because there's so much being said, so much being done. I remember a couple of months ago, you might get a political ad two or three times a day. Then it became two or three times, or two, then it became every other hour. Then it became every hour. And I counted last night, and I think there was 40 ads in 1 hour. 40. 40. 40. I can't say it enough. 40. And that was on the show that didn't have all this commercial. I was looking forward to finding, regular old Medicare commercials. Yeah, or the regular other old folks stuff. You know, you tell what channels I watch because it's all about the old folks stuff. But now it's all about political ads. Now, I'm not here to pull from one side or the other behind this pulpit. I've got my own opinion. I've got strong beliefs. But behind this pulpit, my job, just like being a chaplain at the detention center, chaplain at the hospital, is to minister. Everybody, to put my thoughts inside and minister to everybody. And so even though I'm very opinionated about what I believe, at the same time, I've learned election stress disorder really got strong in the last couple of elections. And this year is worse than ever. So now, let's talk about this thing. Election stress disorder is actually when it's kind of like, have you ever been watching a scary movie? And you know something's getting ready to come up, and you're just waiting and waiting. And then something comes up, and you're expecting this thing to happen, but then this thing happens, and you think it's going to calm down, and it happens again. And so the whole time you're watching the scary movie, it keeps you full of anxiety because you're wondering why. And not only anxiety, but fright. Well, that's because you paid your money to go in and watch a movie. You put it in the VCR. You turn the channel to it. But this we can't get away from. The only way to get away from this is to be a hermit. Have no TV, no radio, and to know absolutely nothing about what's going on. Because this is as real as it gets. I see people all the time. I got pulled out the Walmart greeter the other night, last night. Instead of greeting me, pulled me to the side and said, "Talk to me." And it was about this. I had one person pull me to the side and said, "I'm so mixed up now, I can't even vote. I'm not going to vote." And I said, "Well, too many people have died. They've bled and died for me not to vote." And that's a freedom in this nation, that if we don't take advantage of it, it is going to be taken away from us. And you don't think your vote counts, but it's kind of like going to church. You said, nobody will miss me. Here's how it usually works. I know because I'm up here. When somebody says, "Nobody will miss me because I'm just one," usually that same argument's been given to about 20 people that day. and they fell for it and they didn't show up. And so the other people are going, where'd all these 20 people go? Well, I'm just one, I won't matter. But when you take one and add one to it, and one to it, one to it, one to it, in the same way, at least when I vote, it gives me the opportunity to voice my opinion in the voting booth, and it gives me a voice to vote my opinion after the vote's over with. So you still vote, and is everybody going to be perfect? No. Is everybody going to do everything exactly like you want it? No. But I'm going to tell you my greatest thing that helps me is, let me look at two things. Let me look at their records, and let me compare it to the Word of God. Period. End of discussion. Now, you may not be that way, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm not going to hear throw stones. You can believe the way you want to believe, because we're not robots. But I'm just telling you, is to me, it's got to line up with the Word of God. So, here we go. Maybe you got this going on. This is the only therapeutic part of this. Here's what I tell people all the time. First off, if you've got election stress on you, a disorder, it isn't a disorder to start with. It's more of a syndrome. And as a syndrome, it's just something that kind of is an acute thing. It just, you know, it hits you here and hits you there. But I've seen some people that it's no longer a syndrome, and now it's a disorder, and they can't even function. So here's what you need to do. Number one, monitor your anxiety level. Keep an eye out. I got some little, I don't know where I put them at, because I got tired of wearing them because they kept changing color. But I had some stress dots. And I take these stress dots, and when I'm counseling people, I give them that stress dot. Sometimes if they put on their forehead, I know I need to calm down a little bit. I need to back off a little bit because it's turning black. Okay, I'll back off just a little bit. All right. Monitor your anxiety level. You know when your anxiety level is high because you find yourself not being you. You get wore out very easy, and you're ready to rip somebody's head off, and all they said was, how you doing? So, monitor your anxiety level. Set boundaries on how much attention you pay to politics. You know, there's more out there than just politics. And I'm going to give you a simple explanation of politics. Politics is a compound word. Poly meaning many, ticks meaning blood-sucking creature. All right. Set boundaries on how much attention you pay to politics. I said, I'm not going to watch these political ads. I said, I'm going to turn it to Bonanza. And when I turned it to Bonanza, Paul was running for office. Number three, read diverse news sources. Don't just read one. When I'm trying to figure out what's going on, I'll go to two or three different news sources, and I monitor them back and forth because there's so many different back and forths. And one says he did good, one says he did bad, one says it's the best thing I ever heard, one says it's the worst thing I ever heard. And so I want to hear what everybody's thinking. I want to hear what they're saying because it's important. It's important for me to know this stuff if I'm going to help people. And then practice value-based living. You practice your values in your life. Don't let this stuff get you so upset that if you see somebody, you know, you see a guy on the side of the road and he needs somebody to help him, but he's got a political sticker that's opposite of what you believe, you just let him sit there. Practice your value-based living. Take social media breaks. Social media is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Try to build some systems with those who have different opinions. I've got friends from all different thoughts, and I want to hear that because it helps me understand what people are thinking. I know what I'm thinking, I know what I believe, but at the same time, just because you don't think and believe like I do, don't mean we can't be friends. And I can't learn something from you. And then control what you can control. I can't control y'all. I can't control me. I can't control how you vote, but I can't control how I vote. And I can control what I believe. I can't control what you believe. We've all got different backgrounds. We've all got different things going on in our life that cause us to think the way we think or not think at all, like that person last night. Well, I'm just not going to vote. And I told that person, I said, number one is it's your responsibility to vote. Number two is if you don't vote, I know you got a preference, and the person told me who their preference was. I said, well, if that person loses, if you didn't vote, it was a vote from the person that you didn't want. So, election stress disorder is real, and it's rampant. And even, I'm telling you, like tomorrow when I go to B5, those guys, as soon as I sit down and we start talking about other things, the first thing they want to talk about is what about the election. And they want to talk about what's going on because they're stuck in there, and all they got is what they see on that TV when that TV's turned on. So, let's move on a little bit. Let's get moving a little bit. I'm going to get to some good stuff in a minute. Right now, it's kind of iffy. I got a question for you. Who's really in charge? Are the Democrats? Are the Republicans? Are the Independents? Who's really in charge? Look at that throne. When things get going out of hand, when things get going to the left or go to the right or whatever, going out of what I'm believing, I have to keep looking to the throne. Because no matter what, God is still on his throne. So now you got to remember this, Isaiah chapter 6, and we're gonna go over there in just a minute. Once you watch this, look at this. They're breaking it. I've never seen, it gets more ruthless every day. And now this last week before the election, it's going to be so ruthless. I can't believe how ruthless that it has gotten already. And they used to say, one group say, when they go low, we go high. And everybody goes, yeah. I ain't seen anybody go high. So it's kind of like, what's that thing where you dance and go into the pool? Limbo. It's kind of like limbo. How low can you go? So watch this. We're in the midst of a tumultuous election. Both sides have blood on their hands. Both sides. You know, I remember Abraham Lincoln, can't think of his department of, or his Secretary of War's name at the moment, but he was running against him for office. And this, I reckon, was as bad as it got back then, was he called Lincoln a gorilla. And when Lincoln got in office, Lincoln got him to be a Secretary of Defense. And they said, why did you get a man that called you a gorilla to be your Secretary of Defense? And said, because I don't want a bunch of yes men. I don't want somebody to talk to me and tell me what they think. And you know what? He did some amazing things because he put all people in their cabinet. Very, very awesome. So now, both sides aren't talking pretty. Both sides are not acting pretty. Both sides, when they stand before God, has got a lot of explaining. Now, here we go. Between global unrest and this election, our nation's values and its faith have been shaken to the core. When you hear some of these political ads, good God, if you listen to the political ads, neither one of them are fit for office. Really, if you listen to the political ads, one side's telling the other side how they're not fit for office, and the other side's how they're not fit for office. Just tell me the issues. Don't beat the other person. Just tell me the issues and show me your record. That's all I want to see. Tell me the issues, show me the record. I could care about the rest of it's just talk. Then two assassination attempts. Pierced the man's ear. I was watching it live. I was flipping through the channels, and I saw Trump rally, and so I'm watching that thing. I said, let me check out this thing. I don't think I've ever watched one live like this. And as I'm watching, as he's talking, he's pointing to a PowerPoint that he's talking with her, pop, 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 pop. And he did like that. And you saw the blood. He went down, and the Secret Service came, and he got up, and he hollered, fight, 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 fight. You know that some people even said that was staged. How do you stage that and kill a person and shoot two more? Because everything's gotten so crazy in the political world. And so now, let's watch this. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to read some good news. Y'all ready for some good news? You got that election stress disorder. Internally, it causes stress, it causes anxiety, and the results is confusion. You can't think, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't concentrate. Don't raise your hand. But has anybody been feeling any of that because of the election? External. Now, this is stuff I deal with these people all the time. I'll be walking in Walmart or walking in Food Line, and somebody will say, can you come up here and talk to me for just a minute? And some people I don't even know, if I'm wearing my chaplain hat, they'll say, come here, can you talk to me for just a minute? Externally, stress, anxiety results in confusion, the same thing. But now what it does is it causes people to be paranoid. I'm paranoid of somebody if I find out they got the same belief I've got. They're pulling for the same side I'm pulling for. Families are divided. Friendships are smashed. And you can't even have a decent conversation without somebody exploding. Connection, stress, disorder. And Satan loves it. Now, kind of bulky, but that's all right. Y'all are awful quiet too, but I wanted you to be at least you're listening. Well, I hope you're listening. I hope you haven't just turned it off and got, I want to hear this guy. In the next few weeks, it's going to mark the beginning of a new administration. No matter which party wins, for some, it's going to be a great day. For others, it's going to be a bad day. Remember the past elections, the last two elections? Literally, the last two elections, they had to shut Ivy League schools, shut classes down to give therapy to their students because they couldn't stand their election. There was unrest, even violence, because of things like this. Wow. Folks are going in all type of emotional distress and crisis. I'm here to tell you something. We ain't got to go there. Here comes the good news. I know I've just painted a big old bleak picture. I'm going, I don't want to eat now. I'm so depressed I don't want to eat. Good, there's no chicken for me. Get ready. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, you can read it right up here. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now you got to understand, God doesn't mix words. When God says something in His Word, there's a reason for it. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell the people, and hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, and perceive not. Now, let me just give you a little background here. It was the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah had been the king for 50 years. King Uzziah had ushered in a peace like the place had never known, a prosperity like the place had ever known. It was powerful. But now he's dead. So, there's anxiety. There's all kinds of things going on within them. What's going to happen now when this powerful king is gone? What are we going to do? How are things going to be after he leaves? So, the end was known. He died. The beginning was unknown. How are we going to start over again? Or is the next guy going to be as nice as this guy? And he weren't. Is the next guy going to be good as this guy? No, he wasn't. How are we going to begin again? And then the cycle never stops. If you look over the last 50 years and you judge the presidents by who you think is the best, it depends on what list you're looking at. Some lists say that certain presidents are the worst they've ever had. Some other lists say that it was the best president they've ever had. It all depends on who's writing that paper on who was the best president. I personally have my own belief on these things, but still, you look back and forth, and you can see that things change every 4 years. Why does it change every 4 years? It's because a lot of times Congress changes, or the Senate changes. The ability of whoever's in office to get things pushed through. If you can't reach across both sides of the aisle, then it's not going to happen. So, at the same time, all that stuff is going on in our mind now because we know that this election right here is probably going to be one of the biggest, most important elections in our lifetime. I don't have to tell you all that's going on. I ain't got to tell you all that's at stake. What I can tell you is we've got, this country is in bad shape. Bad shape. I saw an article that said the average cost of living for the people in New York City, the average cost of living, what it cost to live in New York City, the average cost per family was almost $3,000. Excuse me. No, more than that, it was $29,000. I'll get it in a minute. Anyway, about it, I got it written down on my phone anyway, but when I saw it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I don't know about you, but my cost of living has skyrocketed. Usually you get a chicken, I can feed my whole family chicken, or I'll feed my whole family steak for less than $10. You know, I'm talking about the whole family, and now I can't even feed me and Linda a chicken for less than $10, and can't even feed us a steak. Well, she don't like steak, which comes in handy, but those guys in penitentiary say, they said, have you eaten any steak lately? And I said, nope. They said, why not? I said, because the steak I used to pay $7 for at the store now is $17. I went, nope. I'll just leave the steak there and wait till it goes on sale. So all this stuff is going crazy. So what they needed is what we need right now. He said, in the year that he died, when all these unknowns were there, he said, I also saw the Lord. Isaiah desperately needed to refocus. I'm here to challenge you today to refocus. Get out of the election stress disorder and refocus. Refocus. Refocus on God. And know that God is our He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that sets people up and puts them down. And so just know, look, he refocused on God, and he said, I also saw the Lord sitting on the throne. He was looking at an empty throne from King Uzziah, but then he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Every last one of us in here, whenever I find myself getting out of focus, the first thing I do is I get on my knees and I say, God, help me refocus and get my mind on you. Because if I don't get my mind on you first, all this stuff is going to drive me crazy. Amen? So let's watch this. Tell you something about this election. All the leaders of the world, you know, I watched over in Russia, as a leader over in Russia, fix it so he can keep on being the head. But guess what? All the leaders of the world, they just hold office. They're elected or they battle to get there. They have a limited seat. They have limited power. They have limited ability, and they will die. The great God Jehovah, he doesn't hold office. He sits on the throne. He's always been there. He will always be there. He has unlimited power, unlimited ability. He's all-seeing. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. So why do we have to fear what happens on November 5th, knowing that God is going to still be in control? God's still going to be there. God hadn't said, well, that didn't turn out the way I thought it should turn out. He's not up in heaven sucking on a ball of Maalox and going, I just looked at the polls and I'm not liking what I see. He knows. He knows. He knows. Somebody say it. He knows. Here we go. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. God is still on the throne. God's not pacing on the throne wondering what's going to happen next. He is sovereign over all things. Here it goes, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. You need to read this every day. Read it every day till after the election and read it again. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times to the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Here's the Message version. Remember your history, your long, rich history. I am God, the only God you've had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be, all along letting you in on what's going to happen next, assuring you I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. God is God. God is God. God is God. Last time I looked, his headquarters didn't say the Republican or the Democrat since said, holy, 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 I am God. Here comes, get ready. Some of y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to read it to you because it's not my word, it's God. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Daniel chapter 2. Let me just put it back here where we can see it better. God raises up and he puts down leaders. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. His ways are high above our ways, and everything God allows moves history along to its prophesied end. You hear that? That's not my word. That's God's word. God allows, everything God allows moves history along to its prophesied end. And this we're going through now has to happen. It has to happen. Let's look at the Message. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all, does all. He changes seasons and guides history. He raises up kings and also brings them down. He provides both intelligence and discernment. He opens up the depths, tells secrets, sees in the dark. Light spells out of him. Wow. He is such a powerful God. God is God. Now, I love this. El Shaddai, God is our strength, and him the victory is won. It is finished. It is done. Yeshua is the Lord, and in him we've overcome. Look, here it goes. Get ready. I'm getting ready to close. I said, getting ready. I didn't take a poll. I'm saying it. I can tell y'all getting a little Election stress disorder. Ready? Perhaps God wants American Christians to put our trust solely in God rather than our comfort and security. Come on, don't shout me down. Every time in the book of Acts, when everything was going smooth, they forgot about God. And God would allow things to happen that would uproot the place and cause great hardship. And then people got back to God. In the book of Judges, the same thing. He would raise them up. The book of Judges is a book of cycles. He would raise them up. A great leader would come along, and things were going good. And then people forgot about God, and things went downhill. And God would raise up another leader. And they would go up here, they would forget about God when they got prosperous, and they'd go back down, and then they would seek God, and they'd come back up. You know, I kind of think that's what's happening to us many times. The book of Acts didn't end. It's still going on, and we're in it. It's time for us to realize that He is enough. Actually, God is more than enough. Watch this. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between you, me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. That's a promise, and God give us that same promise. Hebrew word for God Almighty is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, more than sufficient. It means He has the power to complete promises of blessings and prosperity. Everything God does is over the top, more than enough. A surplus, a superabundant, overflowing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, blessing. So here we are. Getting ready. Close her down. Brandon, get ready to come play something. Let me just tell you this, the seasons are changing. No matter who wins this election, America never be the same. This is not the America that my grandparents grew up in. And I look at these big trucks. I see these big old Toyota trucks and say, well, my granddaddy who had a Toyota, he had a little Dodge D50. I said, he would have a fit if he could see how big these tundras are. And my other granddaddy, he would drive GMC, and he would drive until you could see what color socks he was wearing because the door would rust out. And he kept his neck suntanned all year round, sunburned because the back would rust out. I told my granddaddy, I said, you know why these things keep rusting? I said, you know why they rust out so much? He said, why? I said, everyone you ever had rusted out. He said, why? I said, because they come with built-in rust pack. And my granddaddy said, yeah, because you can't wear them out. You got to rust them out. Get ready. Whatever we face in the coming years, this is a hard one to accept. Very hard to accept. I pray for my mama to be healed, and God chose to heal her by taking her to heaven. That's not my plan. When my first wife died at 38, that was not my plan. That was not my prayer. And when Bethany died, that was not my plan. My plan was for God to heal. He did, but He did it His way. You see, whatever we face in the coming years, God is allowing. You got to believe it. Perhaps we're going to face strong persecution. Perhaps the world will get worse than it already is. But just know this, the darker it gets, the brighter we shine. And let me just say this. I'm going to prophesy to somebody right now. Maybe your world is getting darker because your light is grown dim. And the only way for it to be seen is it has to get very dark. So up here, I've told them so many times one Sunday night, and I had a little bitty pen light that the battery was just about dead in. And I held up, and nobody could see that light. and they started turning out the lights. And when they finally turned out every light, you could see that little bitty candle. Sometimes God allows your world to get dark in order that your light can shine. This is what he's doing to the United States of America. Perhaps the Lord's going to come and take his bride home, who will finally be raptured out of this whole corrupt world. Whatever lies ahead of us, you've got to trust Christ alone like never before. He is our only real security, and he is all that we need. His children sit quietly in his presence. Be at peace. Here's your challenge. Be at peace no matter what happens. Because the great I am is still in control. Selection. The country is about 50-50 divided anyway. So after this election, there's going to be a 50% that's going to be rejoicing, a 50% that's going to be having a bad time. I don't know who's going to be what. I have no idea. But no matter what, if we can refocus, look up and say, God, you're allowing this. We're going to trust you no matter what. Heaven, a whole lot better. Are you anxious about election day? There's a difference in concern and anxious. Concern means I'm giving thought, I'm praying about it, I'm letting God be in control, I'm going to do my part, but I know God's in control. Then there's those that are anxious. They can't eat, they can't sleep. They're ready to fight, jump at somebody if they don't believe like they believe that. We don't need them. We're God's children. And we definitely need it amongst us. So, if you let that anxiousness drive a wedge in your thinking, drive a wedge in your family, drive a wedge in you and your friends, even drive a wedge in your church, do it all. Do every bit of it. I want you to always try to remember this. No matter what, on that Tuesday night, when they start counting the ballots, there's not one ballot up there saying whether God's going to be taken off the throne. He's still in control. He's not waiting for NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN to tell who won because he already knows. He says, I'm going to have my way no matter. God's really in charge. If you can think about it that way, it can relieve stress. Y'all have heard this story that's been here. You've heard this story before, but I just want to tell you because it's probably one of the most crushing stories I can think of in my life. I've been through a lot, but up in the cancer center, I just heard bad news about Bethany. I'm trying to process the bad news I'm hearing about Bethany. And then my wife says, calls me, she says, I can't breathe. I'm hurting. Something stabbed me in the side. I can't breathe. And I said, call Sam. and go straight to the doctor. And so she went to urgent care, and they took an X-ray and she went straight to the hospital. So Linda went straight to Greenville. She gets to Greenville, and now I've got her in the emergency room and Bethany in the cancer center. And they start telling Linda this one that she's got major, major, major blood clots, and they could really mess her up. So they put her up on a cancer center floor. Her at one end, Bethany on the other end. They didn't put them in the same room. They put them like this because they're in a private room. And so they put them apart from each other. And I remember those doctors coming up for 4 days. And those doctors will be, I mean, the doctors will be crying, the nurses will be crying and saying, I really hate to tell you this, but you can lose either one of them to death. And they kept trying to give me something for it. Don't you want something for it? Don't you want something for it? Things weren't going like I wanted. I was bad enough with Bethany, but now here's Linda. God's really in charge. He's still calling the shots. I can't remember that. I kept remembering that, and I said, naked I came from mother's womb, naked I will return. In no way am I going to talk bad about God. God, you got this. You got this. You're in control. And they said, let us give you something. I said, I don't need anything. If I do, I'll call you. And I go sit on the edge, look in those windows at the cancer center on the end, and I would just pray. I said, God, you got this. You got this. You got this. And I changed my focus. How powerful God was in the midst of all this. I do remember this prayer. I said, God, I've never in my entire life felt so much like Job did. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like a Job right now. God, I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to push you aside. You got this, and I'm going to trust you. A couple days later, Linda went home to be with me, and Bethany went home to be with God. Just remember, my focus changed to God. Changed to His power, His anointing, His sovereignty. It's one thing, three Hebrew boys said, we're not bowing to you. Said the God we serve, He's able to deliver us from this furnace. But just know this, whether He does or not, we're still not going to bow to you. That decision is God's sovereignty, not mine. Election night. May not be what you want, but thank God. Thank Him that He loved you enough to buckle you from whatever happened. Everybody stand up. This isn't a normal homecoming message. I wanted to be kind of lighthearted, wanted to joke around a lot. I just got asked too many questions by too many people, even last night when I made a quick run to the store, got stopped by the Walmart greeter. Then somebody else, when they hit another aisle, I don't know how many times they got stopped last night before I get out of there, and it's always about the selection. Here we are. First question, is anybody here that would say, I'm not where I should be with God. Maybe I allowed some of this stuff to move me from God instead of move me to God, and I want to get back to where I belong with Him. I want to get back to a right relationship with Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Just put their hand up and say, yes, I need to get back. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him, touch Him. Maybe you're here today and you're just stressed. This stuff's got you so worried. Got you bound up. I'll give you peace, right? Peace that not only helps you right now, but it helps you all the way through the election, whether it gets out the way you want it or not. It can help you all the way through. Because you're going to let God be sovereign. When God is sovereign, you're going to be okay. If you're here today and you just need some relief from that stress, and you need that closer touch with God, with nobody looking around, we put that hand up. I'm stressing. I need it. Bless them, Lord. Bless. We're going to pray together. We're also going to say the blessing over the food before we leave, too. So it ought to be prayed for. So when you go over there, you can go ahead and start eating. Pray with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and I thank you for your sovereignty. There's none on earth like them. You raise up kings and you take them down. You know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. You said in these last days, perilous times shall come. And everything you listed, God, is happening. Help us to trust your sovereignty in all of this, but still do our part, because what we do is very important. Don't take it lightly. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. I thank you, God, for just being you. And I thank you, God, for you are in control. You are calling the shots. And I bless your name right now in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to say the blessing, and then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Stephen to dismiss us in prayer after we say the Lord's Prayer. First, I'm going to say the blessing, okay? Father, I thank you for this day and this chance to be here together, to share a meal together. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless in a very powerful way. Lord, touch each person that's here. Bless its food. Let it nourish our bodies. And we thank you for the hands that prepared it. And we ask you, God, to just keep blessing everybody as this food is distributed. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. And let's have fun while we're eating. And the church said, amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, and Brother Stephen's going to dismiss the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.